Welcome back to the second half hour of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Women today compose 14% of the armed forces, and they are a force on the front lines. They're coming home from the battlefield dealing with the same problems that their male service members are dealing with, but with an added layer of difficulty. There's a documentary now out looking at this and exploring this topic, Service, When Women Come Marching Home. It takes a look at those challenges by looking at the personal stories of women veterans. If you want to join us, join the conversation, ask questions, give us your personal story. We'd like to hear from you, 614-8980. You can also email questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Our guest this half hour is the director, camera, and editor, operator of the documentary Service, Marcia Rock. And we have Bridget McCoy. She is a subject, person who tells her story in the documentary, and welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Marcia, tell us about the documentary, Service, When Women Come Marching Home. Let me just say right off front that this is going to be viewable in San Antonio. It's going to be shown on KLRN on Monday at 10 o'clock. Also, there's a screening tomorrow at the Brooks City Base Academic Auditorium, which is free and open to the public. It's hosted by Texas A&M University in San Antonio, and it's being sponsored by Disabled American Veterans. So that's happening, and you'll be taking questions, and people can share their stories there as well. So tell me a little bit more about the documentary, Marcia Rock.
My co-producer, Patty Stotter, and I started thinking about women and the issues that they confront when they come home, because transitioning from military life to civilian life isn't as easy as one would think, particularly coming from the frontless wars of Iraq and Afghanistan, and of course the Gulf War too, and all wars. But sometimes the transition is really quick, and soldiers don't have time to process what happened to them overseas. And you have issues like PTSD and military sexual trauma, as well as physical wounds that have to be healed. And I think we felt that the way that women respond to these issues is different than men, and that those issues should be brought out, and women should be also honored and valued for their role in the military, which is only starting to happen now with understanding that women are able to be in combat. That rule was changed, and they've always been in combat.
Yeah, even prior to that rule change, women were right there
in supporting roles, but they didn't get the benefits, they didn't get the medals, they didn't get the promotions.
Right, and that's, you know, change, but there's so much that needs to change also to help women deal with these with the wounds of war.
So we start the film with Sue Downs' story. She lost both her legs in an IED explosion in Afghanistan, and she was saved by her unit. And we start out with a very positive story about how women can work well in the military, how they are very supportive people and contributing members of any unit. But the big thing is that do the other soldiers have their back? That became a huge theme for us, because one of the things that protects you against PTSD is the love of each other. And if women are isolated, harassed, they don't feel safe and secure, and that's the beginning of the trouble.
Marcia, Bridget McCoy, excuse me. So you're profiled in the documentary. Tell us about your service.
Well, I was a data telecommunications specialist in the Army between 1987 and 1991, and I was stationed in Germany, actually, during that time. And other than being sexually harassed and raped, other than those issues, my service was fine. I loved my job. The people that I worked with who weren't harassing me are giving me challenges. Some of us still have great relationships to this day, but it was just those few people that caused my service to me to question some things about my service.
And that led to, when you were released, when you were no longer an active service member, how did that play out?
Well, I basically, for all intents and purposes, I was forced out. My first sergeant basically brought some papers by and said, sign those and get out of the service. I mean, that was basically what happened because I reported sexual harassment. Getting out, I wasn't prepared. I thought I was going to be in another year at least. So there was no preparation. I basically got out with no benefit, you know, nothing more than just, you know, my last paycheck and, you know, a ticket home back to the States. That was it. So it took about another 6-8 months to really get on my feet. I had a child who was very sick, had sickle cell disease. So I had a sick child that I was trying to take care of and trying to reassimilate. I was petrified to go back to my home of origin. So I just settled into a very small country town and tried to make my way of it.
And did you end up like homeless? Is
that... It was some time after that. I had multiple medical injuries before I got out of the military that were untreated. And so when I transitioned, it was just a matter of me trying to get on my feet and ignore what had happened so that I could work, because I had to work. I had a sick child. So I had a couple of bad car accidents that happened to me, and I ended up losing my home and multiple things happening from then, losing my job, losing my home, and that's how I ended up homeless, because I couldn't get back on my feet.
You had lots of symptoms, right, that you didn't understand what they were?
Yeah, I was going back and forth to the doctor. I had really good medical insurance while I was working, and so they were like, we don't know what's wrong with you. I was fainting. I was having these blackout spells. They misdiagnosed me as having seizures. They had me seeing all kinds of orthopedic specialists and neurological specialists.
Did they think this was PTSD related?
They had no clue.
But you know that just women who aren't even in the military, if you're raped, you suffer from a form of PTSD.
Never came up in a conversation. That never came up in a conversation publicly. Again, I talk about this. I don't know that I ever said the words rape publicly until I went to the Senate just last month. Those words. I've used words like troubled, bothered, harassed, but never the words raped.
Well, so we're talking with Marcia Rock. She's the director and the editor of the film Service When Women Come Marching Home, taking a look at the challenges of and personal stories of women veterans. And so Bridget McCoy's story, how uncommon is that?
Unfortunately, way too common. We started off looking at the role of service dogs in healing not only physical injuries, but also emotional ones such as PTSD. And no matter where we started a conversation, it always ended up with military sexual trauma. 1 in 5 women are said to have experienced it in the military. That's crazy. It's probably closer to 1 in 3. And just now, Bridget testified before the Senate Arms Services Committee about this issue, and it seems like finally things are starting to happen. And one of the exciting things about her testimony was that the great senators Gillibrand and McCaskill were there and really took on the issue seriously.
All right, we're going to get more on that in a break after we come back from this break. We're listening to The Source on KSTX. If you've got a number, if you want to join the conversation, the number is 614-8980. We'll be right back.
I have to say, I no longer have any faith or hope that the military chain of command will consistently prosecute, convict, sentence, and carry out the sentencing of sexual predators in uniform.
And that was Bridget Rock, Bridget McCoy. She was testifying recently?
Yes.
And about the problem of sexual predators, sexual assault, raping happening of women service members in the military, not finding an appropriate level of justice, and then also treatment and follow-up with the victims of these crimes. And apparently this is happening. You know, we've had the Lackland scandal here in San Antonio. So this is something that's in our news quite a bit here. But now we're looking for the solutions, how are we going to be moving forward. If you've got comments, if you want to join the conversation, the number is 614-8980. We're talking about the documentary service, When Women Come Marching Home, about the challenges and the personal stories of women veterans. With me in the studio, Marcia Rock. She's the director of the documentary, and Brigitte McCoy. She's a subject in the documentary. And we were talking about the difficulty in transitioning out of the service and in a PTSD. It would seem to me that, you know, women, they've heard so much about they can't serve, they can't be on the front lines, and that would make them reluctant to get the help that they need and that they deserve and that they've earned because they don't want to prove the doubters right. Is that something that happens?
Yes, and a big problem that services, benefits for veterans have in reaching out to women is that they don't self-identify. So either they're in denial about that they have any problem whatsoever. Brigitte went for years saying her service was great. Or they don't want to be stigmatized. They don't want to say, oh, she's a woman in the military, so she must have been raped. And this is a huge issue that I feel women have to push through and raise their level of consciousness about the issue. Many women have experienced it. It's not something to be ashamed about. You get benefits if you identify what the issues are. So, and also, our film tries to honor their service. So it's not just about the problems, but about how great these women are and what contributions they have been able to make. Three women in the film were MPs. They handled 15-millimeter guns. They were gunners. And they talk about their guns, and it's fantastic, you know. And they talk about fear. They talk about how to handle things like that, just like anyone who's in those situations. And also, women are enlisting at a rapid rate in the military. So this is an issue that's not going to go away. The goal is to change the culture so that they're appreciated and able to develop and fulfill their dreams being a soldier. Many of them loved boot camp.
And did you love boot camp?
I loved drill and ceremony. The marching, and every time I speak, I seem to go back to that. I love to hear the sound of the boots hitting the concrete. It just brings something, rises something of pride within me. Hearing people call cadence the same thing, I just love to hear it.
And she's a great singer, so when she called cadence, everybody could hear it and everybody loved it.
Yeah, so that you know, there's a love for the military, regardless of what these people who happen to be pretending to be service members, wearing these uniforms, they're not service members. They are pretending. Because a service member, a true person who is in the service and serving, would not do the things that these people have done to the men and women who are serving. They wouldn't do it to their sisters and brothers. They just wouldn't.
So, Marcia Rock, it seems like you're really making a big push to get this documentary in front of people so they see it. We have the screening that's tomorrow at Brook City Base, the academic auditorium, which is free, open to the public. There's a Q&A there. And then it's also going to be on the air on KLRN on Monday at 10 o'clock. So are you hopeful that people will come, they'll see it, and it'll trigger people and make them get the help that they need?
We hope it won't trigger them too much, but yes, that they'll get the help they need, that family members and civilians will understand better the role of women in the military. We really want to reach also the women who are in the state of PTSD where they're afraid to leave their homes. That happens all the time. So it's great. It's going to be on television. You can just turn it on in your living room, your bedroom, wherever you are. And it's going to be on across the country. It's being distributed to public television stations around the country between now and Memorial Day.
I've heard stories about women, from women veterans who've gone to the VA trying to get services, and they tell them that they were in combat or they saw, you know, some heavy stuff, and they were not taken seriously. Is that an experience that you've heard?
Absolutely. You go in years before. It's getting better now, but years before, you go in and they'd ask you where your husband is. And when you show them your ID card, then it's still this thing of not being validated, that your service didn't matter, that you must have been a cook or a, you know, or someone, a secretary somewhere. But you know, General Patton's secretary, she was on the front lines with him. She couldn't have served him as a secretary unless she was right there beside him. So we got to get past this idea that women did not serve on the front lines, taking in, you know, frontline fire.
And Bridgette has been a great advocate for women's rights within the VA, and change has come. And in the film, you see her talking to people from the VA about locks on doors, separate waiting rooms for women. We went to the Seattle Women's VA, their separate clinic for women. It is a separate entrance because women who've experienced military sexual trauma do not want to be in a waiting room with a lot of men ogling them. It just triggers them again. They want to be served by women providers. And Seattle is a model clinic, and Providence is opening one. They are starting to appear all over the country. But the level of care in VAs is very different. Some are advanced and some are still not dealing well with women.
And dealing with, I mean, we're seeing women coming back with the same traumatic injuries, and with that the men have suffered, like loss of limbs, and are, do they need special treatment in adapting and coping with this change?
Well, Sue, who has two prosthetics legs, told me that, you know, in the beginning they were trying to fit her with a man small, and I think Bridgette once had that problem too. So prostheses have to be adapted for women's bodies and shapes and sizes. But it's also coming back, the women's role as mother and caregiver changes when you work through your PTSD. And I know that a lot of, especially Sue, has talked about the fact that it's so hard to give love. She had to learn how to love again. She had to redefine who she was. She wasn't the person she was when she left, when she came back, and the family expect her to just be the same. And you're not the same after you experience something like that. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's just that you're different. Women are more susceptible to PTSD, but they heal faster.
Okay. And but suicide is a terrible affliction that's running through our veterans right now. How does that relate to the women's service members?
Well, right now we're at 23 suicides a day in the veteran community. I don't have the numbers for, you know, differentiating between women and men. It's a huge issue. I survived suicide attempt. I've talked to other women, same thing. It's there. It's always kind of there, you know, whispering over your shoulder. But when you have peers and you have people that you can go to who can support you, right, you know, when you're struggling, it makes it a lot better. The sense of community, I think, with women veteran is much, I think with veteran period is pretty strong, but I think with women veteran, because we like to, chat and talk to each other, I think that that's been the one thing that has, in my particular instance, kept me, kept my feet pretty grounded.
Social media has helped with that too, because I know that I met Bridgette through social media, and she started a group for women veterans through social media. They don't have to leave the home. They can log on anytime. If they're up late at night, someone else is all up as well.
And but back to the suicide issue, it just seems like this is so critical and imperative, and it's happening now. When you say 23 suicides a day, this is not something that can wait another quarter until
a committee. It's a public health issue. I mean, if this was something like a flu or something, the CDC would say this is an issue that we need to attack, we need to address right now. But, you know, the VA, they're addressing it, but I don't know how well how they're addressing it is working, because we're still, you know, we've got all of these things implemented and things are on the boards at the VA, but who's out in the community really touching the veterans' lives and helping them, you know, transition, helping them get the services they need? Who's boots on the ground doing that? I mean, a lot of the organizations are trying to do it, but if you won't leave your home, like Marsha was saying, for a period of time, that's why I started the group, because I couldn't physically leave the home. So I felt like I could connect with people online better. So we have to come up with non-traditional ways to reach veterans where they are, and give them the services they need, maybe not physically going to a building, but utilizing technology. I mean, a lot of the social work programs now have started doing these telecare and telehealth programs so that veterans don't have to leave their home. They can log on and talk to their social worker online. But we need more of those types of programs to really thwart the suicide rate.
I also think a better exit strategy has to be developed by the military. So when soldiers leave, usually they just want to get home. And they need to be educated about symptoms and signs that might come up so that they don't get caught and drowned by them.
And so the documentary, where's it all leave these issues?
Well, it leaves sort of upbeat because change is happening. And if women get together to demand change, it happens. So one person goes to therapy. She's able to graduate college. Brigitte goes to Washington and talks to Senator Patty Murray.
So progress.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I want to remind people that this documentary will be shown on KLRN on Monday at 10. There's a screening tomorrow at Brook City Base at 7 p.m. Thanks so much to our guest, Marcia Rock, the director of the documentary service, When Women Come Marching Home, and Brigitte McCoy, a subject in the film. And thanks to our callers and online participants. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX. Paul Flabs, the show's producer. Wayne Coble is a TPR program director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. We get production help from Catherine Dixon. I'm David Martin Davies. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.